This is Final Exit Marigold House, written and recorded by Tom Weiss. Chapter 1. It was too hot for coffee and too early for whiskey, so Cole Harper settled for a cigarette at a cracked window. A small metal fan on the edge of his desk turned slowly from side to side, clicking softly each time it hit the end of its arc. It didn't cool much, but it moved some air. Cole had just penciled in acedia, a word he didn't know, but it fit in the crossword from that morning's Philadelphia Record, when he heard a voice from the receptionist's office just outside. "How can I help you?" That was Betty Lou, stationed behind a messy desk with one extra chair that never got much use. After a few moments, a knock came, quick, cheerful, and unmistakably hers. The door opened before Cole could say anything. She peeked in, her lipstick a shade too bright for morning, and her perfume arriving 5 seconds ahead of her. "A call, honey," she chirped. "There's a gentleman to see ya, a Mr. Bellamy." She drew out the word like it left a taste in her mouth. Behind her stood a trim man in a summer suit carrying a briefcase that probably cost more than Cole's rent. He looked like he'd rather be anywhere else. "I can wait if he's busy," the man offered, not looking at either of them. "Nonsense," Betty Lou said, waving him forward like she was introducing a vaudeville act. Cole stood and motioned to the chair across from his desk. "Come on in, Mr. Bellamy, please have a seat." Betty Lou beamed. "I'll leave you boys to it," she said, disappearing in a cloud of Shalimar. The door clicked shut behind her. "Is she always that enthusiastic?" Cole nodded. Bellamy hesitated, taking in the office with a banker's eye, calculating the cost of everything and quietly confirming that it wasn't worth it. He didn't leave. He was here now. "I'm Henry Bellamy, and my father, Charles Bellamy, is staying at a boarding house in Cape May. It's called the Marigold House." Bellamy set his briefcase on his lap and clicked it open. He unfolded a letter and placed it neatly on Cole's desk. "He sent me this a few days ago." Cole didn't reach for it, just let his eyes drift across the page. The handwriting was jagged. The words tilted like they were trying to march off the paper. "The curtain's about to rise, and I don't know my lines. Rehearsals have been strange. Some folks aren't who they claim to be." "It's not the first time he's written something odd," Bellamy said, closing the case again. "But this one felt different." Cole tapped ash into the tray. "Your father's a performer?" "He was, kind of. A crooner, mostly. Sang sentimental numbers during the war. He toured in vaudeville with a ventriloquist named Monty. Monty had the act. My father just tagged along. Worked the same circuit." Cole leaned back. "Vaudeville's been dead, what, 10 or 15 years? Bellamy shrugged. "Tell him that. He thinks he's still on tour. And now he's living in a boarding house full of retired performers? He calls it full of character. He said it like character meant bedlam. Let me guess, fading wallpaper, creaking stairs, and someone playing show tunes on a piano with 3 gone keys. Bellamy's jaw tightened. "He says it reminds him of the old days." Cole nodded. "What exactly do you want from me, Mr. Bellamy?" "I want you to go down there, discreetly. Just spend a day or two at Marigold House. Talk to him. Talk to others if you can. Find out if there's anything wrong, if he's imagining things, if someone's taking advantage of him, and report back." $10 a day, Cole said, plus expenses. Bellamy didn't blink. "That's acceptable. Train ticket'll be extra. I don't drive." "I assumed as much." Cole crushed out the cigarette. "Then I'll pack a bag and try to keep your father from talking to furniture." Mr. Bellamy, a man of few words, stood, extended his hand to Cole, and politely thanked him. He handed over a business card, clean, white, embossed, and said nothing more. Then he turned and left, like he'd just consummated a business deal. Cole stood and stretched, walked to the doorway, and glanced out toward the front. Betty Lou was already back at her desk, elbow deep in a stack of papers that hadn't moved in weeks. Somewhere under the mess was a telephone, a calendar months behind, and three lipstick caps with no tubes. She looked up and smiled like she'd just closed the deal herself. "Busy morning," she said. Cole didn't answer. He lit another cigarette, watched the smoke drift toward the window in lazy spirals, nudged along by the fan that clicked each time it reached the end of its arc.